Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook. I'm John Schaefer. The band Vardruna is from Norway, but I'm not sure it would be correct to call them a Norwegian band. See, Norway is a Christian country, and Vardruna's music looks back to pre-Christian times, a time of rituals and runes and Viking raids. Maybe it would be better to call them a Norse band. Whatever you call them, their sound is unmistakable, and they've brought an incredible array of ancient and traditional instruments into our studio today to perform a couple of songs, beginning with this one called Vunjo. Here, live on Soundcheck, is Vardruna. That is the band Vardruna, live here in the Soundcheck studio in a song called Vunjo. I'll introduce you to the members of the ensemble in just a moment. We start, though, with Einar Selvik, who is the composer of the music and lead singer of the ensemble, playing a four-string bowed lyre here in the studio today. Einar, what language are these songs in?
Well, it depends. It's sort of in many ways, a playful language, because it's a combination of everything from Proto-Norse, the language before Old Norse, mm-hmm. The Viking language, and so on, and Old Norse, but also West Norwegian dialect, my own dialect, in this weird mix, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's playing with the language.
And the name Vardruna begins with a W, which you don't see a lot in Norwegian. Is it a Norwegian name?
No, it's you have it in Proto-Norse.
Uh-huh.
So there you have the W. But of course, it's not common, and we pronounce it as a V.
As a V, right.
Yeah.
Vardruna starts with a W. The other members of the ensemble, there's a percussion section that is hard at work throughout these pieces. Arne Sandvall, back in the corner playing percussion. Sandra Velland playing the drums, which are made with goat skins.
These are made with goat skins. Yeah.
But there are others.
Yeah, I use a lot of deer.
So do you make those instruments?
Yeah.
So do you go hunt the deer and then
I do
skin them? And
well, I don't shoot the animal. That's the only thing I don't do.
Okay.
But I participate in skinning them, and I do the whole process of
curing the skin.
Yeah, they're not cured, but there is a certain process. You leave them in a running river for some weeks, and then you have to scrape the hairs. So it's a long process, but a beautiful one in many ways. Because what you see after a while is that what you're actually doing is you're bringing the animal back to life. Yet in a new form. So I like that process.
Well, you're
much.
Also then very aware of where your instrument has come from.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're also aware of where some of the horns come from. Elif Gunderson playing the seljaflöte, which traditionally is made of willow bark, but then also a horn that's clearly formerly an antler or a horn from some animal.
Yeah, a goat.
A goat, okay.
Yeah.
So no part of the goat goes wasted in this.
No, for sure not.
And Jürgen Nironing playing the hardingfele, the so-called hardanger fiddle, which is pretty commonly heard in Norwegian folk music.
Absolutely.
But what you do is not typical Norwegian folk music. How did this project get started for you?
It comes out of desire to create something new with something old, but to interpret these old myths, these old instruments, but doing it on their own premises, rather than just making modern music with the use of these elements. I wanted to switch it around and do it on their premises, their potential, and build on that.
So a lot of your songs have a kind of ritual feel to them. Does that grow out of this, idea of trying to get back to what these instruments originally represented?
Yeah, well, music and ritual have undoubtedly always, and still is, a big part of each other, complementing each other in a way. And in old times, of course, also, some instruments especially. But I don't know, for me, the project started on making musical interpretations of runes, old letters, old writing. And, these runes, they have a lot of layers to them in the sense, even the word rune can mean, it can be a letter, it can be a phonetic sound that has a phonetic sound, of course. It can mean a secret, it can mean knowledge, very often connected to esoteric knowledge. And it can even mean a magical song. And so, on top of that, we have these rune poems that says something both about their sound, their name, but also about a symbolic value. And that's where we come in and try and give sound to that value and doing it as much as possible on its own premises.
So do you use some of those rune poems as lyrics?
Parts of it. Mm-hmm. But very often it's sort of my own version of it.
Right, right. But you said, trying to mix the old with the new.
Yeah, and the nice thing, we use it to basically display man's relationship to nature, to each other, and to something bigger than yourself. And that's a universal thing. It's a timeless thing. And that's why it still carries relevance and resonance. And that's why people, I think, are able to connect to it today.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, we're seeing in different parts of the world, you know, this kind of revival of interest in really ancient parts of people's culture. You probably know the Ásatrú religion in Iceland. They're opening the first Ásatrú temple in 1,000 years in Iceland this year.
Yeah.
And to the musical connection, the high priest of the Ásatrú temple there in Reykjavik is a composer.
Yeah.
Hilmarn Hilmarsson.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've worked together as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of a very strong spiritual root to this music then.
Absolutely. Like I said, there is this spiritual layer to it, but it's a bit up to you as the listener also to have your own interpretation of it. There is room for you within the music,
right.
And it's not peppered with my stuff, there is always room for interpretations, whether or not you're a religious person or a spiritual person or a philosophical person. You can find sort of your way into it.
Well, there aren't many people who speak Proto-Norse anymore. So, you know, we're all kind of responding to the mood and the feeling of the music.
Yeah, well, it's a language that wants to be sung. You see it, how it's constructed with the balance within the words and sounds. It's a language that's made to be sung in a way.
All right, I'll let you sing some more then. You want to do a song called Isa next?
Yeah.
This appears on the third of the Runoljóð trilogy that the band has recorded, a series of records by Vardruna. It's the band's first appearance in New York. Let's hear another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio from the band Vardruna.
Ooh. gleam on the
song is called Issa from the band Vardruna, a song written by Lindy Faye Hella and Einar Selvik, and you heard them leading the way vocally. I mentioned that this is your first time in New York, but Einar, you are doing a solo thing.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're solo?
Well, I talk about my approach to historical music. And a little bit about the concepts behind both the themes we're working on, the songs we're working on, trying to contextualize them. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, do examples by performing some of them fully acoustic with instruments. I'm going to use a lyre, uh-huh. a seven-string lyre called Kravik lyra, which is the oldest string instrument we have in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is the object that is next to your microphone that looks like, I mean, it looks like a stick, but it looks like antlers, and it seems to, you know, it looks really old, and it looks like it has some kind of meaning.
Well, these things, I guess, in many ways have the meaning you assign them.
Yeah.
But, of course, it can have symbolic value of what it is, parts of what you are bringing to the stage. It has an aesthetic value, mm-hmm. and meaning, and also it has a rhythmical use as well.
Right.
So with these deer cloves.
Mm-hmm. Deer hooves. Yeah,
hooves.
So Einar, for people who know your background as a drummer in a black metal band in Gorgoroth, and then hear you doing this, it might seem like they're two very different musical worlds, but do you feel a connection between the two?
Well, mostly I would say no, but perhaps if you rewind back to early black metal,
mm-hmm.
when the genre was still interesting.
So you mean the 90s?
Yeah. Then I would say the similarity you find there, which you also find in the oldest concept of world music, musica mundane, is that the stuff that's behind the music is just as important as the music itself. So I would say that if you're looking for a similarity, I would say that's where you find it easiest.
I wasn't necessarily looking for a similarity. I just wanted to know if you felt like these were both coming from the same kind of creative impulse.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
You could find that, but I don't know. There are a lot of metal people who do like the soundscape that we are working with. at the same time, a lot of people who plays black metal, they love classical music.
Sure, yeah.
And it has some of the same cinematic visual feeling to it.
Right.
And it also, it's quite dark or has that earthy feel to it.
Well, and speaking of cinematic, of course, you've done the music for the History Channel's Vikings series, the TV series.
I'm at least part of doing it. But they use quite a lot of Vardruna's music. Worked quite a bit together with Trevor Morris, who is the main composer there on the soundtrack.
So how much do we know about what really old Norse instruments and music sound? I mean, how much research and homework do you have to do for this project?
Well, I always say that it's not a good thing to start climbing in a tree without roots. Then you will fall. So for me, it's important to both have that academic approach as a basis, both when it comes to the other parts of the concept as well. I apply that method before going into the intuitive part. So I do a lot of research, and in terms of what you can say and not say, it's I would say that our ancient Nordic history is very fragmented. It is a bit of a puzzle. You need to have a very broad overview of the sources to be able to see the pattern and how they may fit together. And, you know, a lot of the instruments, they have limitations on what you can and cannot do on them. We have a lot of poetic meters that contain both melody and rhythm that we can sort of use as a compass. Yeah, there are many elements, I would say.
Yeah. But what you were saying before about how Proto-Norse wants to be sung, because there's a kind of rhythmic balance in the language itself, that gives you some clues.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I think that my method of approaching these things is fruitful, and even people in academia finds what I do interesting in these things, what we do, in terms of... Because I think the advantage is that we don't only have the academic approach. We are not only musicians. It's the combination. Because when I do solo shows, for instance, I perform like the old skalds did, with the same instruments, very often in the same type of setting.
Mm.
In longhouses, for instance, I'm basically able to try out many of these hypotheses
from like
academia.
You're like a bard. You know, an old-fashioned bard.
Yeah, in a way.
So let's hear something now from one of the earlier records in that Runeljod trilogy. This song is called Helvegen.
Yeah.
That sounds Norwegian to me. I mean, Vegen is road, right? A way. So this is the way to...
Hel. Yeah, Hel is the goddess of death. So it's basically... I feel that this song is in many ways at the core of what we're trying to do with Vardruna, because we come from a tradition where we used to have a very rich song tradition. We used to have songs for all occasions, everything from when you were working with various things to when people were born, you were sung into this world, and when you died, somebody sang you across.
Mm.
And so this is sort of born out of that feeling, who is going to sing me? The day I die. So it's a song about death, about dying, about honoring those we have lost, about crossing over, and about letting go.
All right. Let's once again hear the band Vardruna. They're performing live here in the Soundcheck studio.
En ortstýr der aldrei kveimur sér góðan getu. Dauir fjö, dauja fröndur, dauir sjálfur við sama. Ég veit einn að aldri dauir, dómrum dauðan hver.
The band Vardruna, live on Soundcheck, and a song called Helvegen, which comes from the second of the three albums in their Runelrod trilogy. And Einar, what is the six-foot-long horn that Elif was just playing in that piece?
We would call it a lure, in this case a birch bark lure, or a neverlure.
And that is also a traditional.
It's a very old instrument. It's an instrument that is several thousand years old, the type of instrument. We know the use of it for many thousand years, and it's a living tradition of using this instrument. We have it still.
Well, that is one of many striking things about this band, is, you know, you've taken what seems to be something out of the pages of history, and you've made a living tradition out of it and with it, and it's just been great having all of you here performing for us today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
The band is Vardruna. This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.